Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah!
Welcome, everybody. How you doing? This is Psychic X Journeyman here on Psychic X Journeyman Talk Radio. And actually, it's also the show is called Psychic X Journeyman Spiritual Link. So we're actually put out things there and give you some things to think about to make you go, So therefore, let's get to the show and get going with what's going on. If you want to give us a call in here, give us a call at 646-721-9031. We'll say a little bit slower for you. It's 646-721-9031. Also, the situation, we are always asking for donations to increase the show, and with each donation you give, you're also contributing to the show as well, as in the message that we give out here and the people we help. So everybody who wants to actually donate to the show, please do so. We thank you for every donation, and we thanks to everyone who has donated to the show, and there's been many. Well, if you want to do that, just give us a call at 740-500-8863, or call me through Skype. Just talk face-to-face if you'd like at 740-601-9835, or contact me through my website on the contact page at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. Very easy. Right now we're having some really great specials until the 22nd of this month for readings, so if you want to give us a call about that too as well, the readings are going for $33.33 for a 60-minute reading. And also with the situation, what is it, 40-minute sessions are $22.22, and for 20-minute sessions, they're only $11.11. If you want to take advantage of this thing, we've done myself. It's called a one-card 15-minute reading. They only go for $9.99. If you want to have, we also have 90-minute to 2-hour sessions where you can actually get life coaching, relationship counseling, past life regressions, readings, and that kind of such. And also, you get a 7-card angel reading with that, too. Now, those sessions are only going for $77.77. So get in there before those prices change after the 22nd. And just give us a call at 740-500-8863 or give us a call at, on Skype. It's 740-601-9835, or just contact us through the website, which is www.psychicxjourneyman.com. And with that said, do like to go over a couple of topics from time to time, that kind of thing. So if you have something you want to bring to the table too as well, and there's something you want to discuss and get it out there and figure what's going on, get some answers, or maybe just get some different insights from everybody else, give us a call here tonight, 646-721-9031. My situation of throwing the topic out there for everybody. To remember one thing out there, as you go through life, remember every person that crosses your path, every situation you get yourself into is a learning experience. And sometimes you need to take a step back and look at yourself and ask you what you've learned in the process of someone crossing your path. Even if it was a very negative experience, every situation, there's a learning situation. What do you learn from it about yourself? And that's what usually what's about. Reflection, about yourself? What does it reflect back to you? What does it make you think about? You know, the point of the situation. If you're in a situation where someone comes off very hateful, very strong, and the energy is very intense to you, remember one thing. You can only interpret it through your own perceptions. So maybe the person is just a very strong personality, and you're taking it as personal. You're getting very, and how do you know this? Is when you sit there and look at the situation, you go, I'm getting very defensive. Why am I getting defensive? And that's one of the things you need to step back and take a look at. Why are you getting defensive? You should not be getting defensive. You should look at the situation for what it is. No one or no thing has ever hurt you. It's the things that you allow. It's the things that you look at. Even if you see ideals, listen to one's intuition. It said maybe you shouldn't have even got into the situation at all. That's a learning experience. You learn to trust yourself next time not to do those things and put yourself there. And also realize the situation in hand. You know, strength is strength. And the only way we get stronger is by facing our fears, not running away from them. Any kind of scenario. Believe me, trust me, I've been doing this for a very long time, since I was 10 years old. And also we like to sit here and express, too, that sometimes people might come off, as you look at it, as being very negative or very, it's very, how do we put that, just being negative and saying things that you wouldn't say to somebody, and look at the situation and go, well, you should be more tactful in how you do it, to realize that we've been doing this for a very long time. And sometimes for light workers to put the light on it, sometimes you're not going to agree with how the light was activated, how that light worker actually got the light. But it's definitely something that's bringing it to the light, even if it was just the ideal. You know, like when you sit there and get bold and straightforward with somebody and they don't take it the good way, doesn't mean it was meant anything other than learning and the message that you were supposed to get. Like I said before, we can only interpret things through our own perceptions, and we need to sit there and expand those perceptions to understand that sometimes when people are coming off bluntly, that's all it is, speaking their minds. Or it could be they're just being who they are. So if you catch yourself saying, you should stop, you should control yourself, or any kind of expectations you're putting on that, you are also the controller who's stepping over their boundaries of telling someone to stop something because you can't deal with it. When it's the ideal, stepping back in the process of looking at the situation and realizing you're supposed to be learning how to be strong by facing it and confronting it and saying, how can I sit here, listen to this person, and not get involved emotionally or one way or the other? Just listen and hear what they got to say, because I might actually hear something that pertains to me. And usually that's what it's all about. Anyway, let's get another situation. I think we do have some callers in the queue. And it's just one of those things I want everybody to understand, that everything happens for a reason. You don't pick and choose. They all happen for a reason. And they will always continue to happen for a reason. And we can't sit there as light workers and go, okay, we're supposed to save the world. No, we're not supposed to save the world. We're supposed to give the message to help the world save itself. And to realize also with the situation, like we've always said before, when we heal ourselves, so do we heal the world. So, you know, sometimes we do have a little situation that sometimes we just need a vent. And the energy might be intense. But just hone up on our protections energy and realize, how can you be strong within yourself? And always remember one thing, guys. I had a talk to a lady when I was in Colorado who was doing a charity function. Never done any readings or nothing like that, but she decided to do this charity function, and she wanted to do something. So she decided to do palm readings. And the one thing she realized that she talked to me about it, and she goes, I'm getting a little ideal about what you're going through and what you do when you do this kind of work. Because everybody who came to me for a palm reading was serious. They were asking serious questions. I said, yes, they was. Welcome to my world. They're asking very serious questions. You know? And that's what I'm saying. You know, when you take the responsibility to put yourself in that position of doing readings for people on any kind of level, people are on the other end of that whole thing are being very serious. They're looking for answers. They're looking for insight. They're looking for the whole thing. And if you're not strong enough to do it, then don't put yourself there, because all you're doing is setting yourself up for something that might be overwhelming to you. But also think about the person on the other side of the whole thing who's actually asking for help. You're not helping them. They're getting a little disappointed about the situation. It doesn't mean anything about anything. It doesn't make you any less of a person. It's just the idea of look at the situation before you step out there. It's very intense indeed. And I'll give you another little scenario. I actually had two people call me one night. One was a guy who said he's going to kill himself. And you have to be strong within your answers. You have to be strong in your messages. You cannot back down. You have to be direct. Because when you're in a situation like that, when the messages come through, they're there to help you, to help that person to see something within themselves so they can divert this whole situation. You know, if you're not strong within yourself, you know, you might be the catalyst that actually sends this guy down the wrong road. Something might happen in the situation. But it's also can be very emotional for the reader, too. Because, you know, sometimes with these situations, you got a bunch of 5-6 calls. People call about girlfriends and boyfriends. Somebody calls about a parking space. And all of a sudden, you have somebody call in and says, I'm going to kill myself because my girlfriend left me. And what I did was I came back very quickly and I said, okay, buddy, guess what? Your girlfriend's coming back. He goes, oh, really? I said, yeah, but the bad news is you're dead. He's like, oh, what? I said, well, you're going to kill yourself. Go ahead. But I'm just telling you ahead of time, your girlfriend's coming back, but now she has nothing to come back to. Now, people might think it's harsh, but see, he got the point. See, your perceptions say, okay, well, that's mean. But it's what he needed to hear. You know, it's like, boom. He snapped out of it and realized if he killed himself, he would be gone. So if his girlfriend came back, all she would see is basically an open coffin, and there he was. But he decided not to do that. He decided to change his mind. Now, there are people out there who have a tendency to do things. It doesn't matter what they do them for. It's just the idea they do them. About an hour later, a lady called and said, I want you to tell me something good so I won't kill myself. And I said, well, you know, no pressure there. And she's like, no, I'm serious. She said, if you don't tell me something good, I'm going to take some morphine and basically do myself in. Well, the whole thing was like this. She had already taken the shot of morphine before she even called. So she already had the intent of killing herself in the first place. So, you know, you see a situation like that you really can't deal with. But when it happened, and I realized it too, I sensed it as we were talking, and I told her, I said, you've already done this. And I said, what did you call me for? And she said, I called the last person I really wanted to talk to. You know, I guess I could look at the situation where she felt the need to call, that she felt like even in the process of killing herself, she still wanted to hear a positive voice before she went. Maybe we'll never really know the full extent of why, but she made that choice. So the idea of putting yourself in the position to do this kind of work, I just hope you guys are ready. Because it could be, we could all look at those situations and say, well, you know, but it's okay. Just take a look at the situation, and I'm just saying, those are the scenarios, those are the readings, and those are the things you confront. And so take this thing as serious as possible. If you get a person on the phone who refuses, as in talking to a psychic who refuses to back down, who refuses to go anywhere else but where he thinks he should go, it's the idea of knowing. Once you're in that situation and that knowing, and plus if you're talking to a 20 or 30-year veteran, it's, you know, I'm not saying we don't open ourselves up to the idea of learning things, but when you get the message from God or angels, there is no gray. It is what it is. So take that in consideration of actually really toning and honing into hearing your angels, your guides, God, you know, Holy Spirit, higher self, your guardian angels, your guides, everyone's out there. When you start listening to those spiritual entities, I guarantee you could actually be 100% right. And we have to realize one thing. There's going to be human beings who are not going to like it because you are right. But it's okay. You are who you are. And you should never change that, no matter what anybody says, in the process of not wanting to deal with you. So therefore, be who you are. Never stop being who you are, because really that's what gets the positive things going on in your life, when you're really being that true self, I guarantee you. So let's go and check our callers out here. Let's see if we can get some people in the air and on the line. I just want to sit here and say, guys, if you want to get a reading, please get in there before the 22nd. I love to sit here and work with each and every one of you guys, so just give us a call at 740-500-8863, 740-601-9835, or contact us through our website at www.psychicxjourneyman.com. The readings are only going for $33.33 for a 60-minute session, $22.22 for a 40-minute session, and for a 20-minute session, it's only $11.11. We've got a 15-minute session, one-card reading, which goes for, I forgot, $9.99. And I'm telling you right now, when you sit down and do a reading for 15 minutes with one card, can you imagine what a seven-card spread would do for you? So take that consideration as two. And we also have the 90-minute to two-hour sessions where you can get card readings and sessions and life coaching and past life regressions and readings are really good, too. And usually when you throw the whole thing in, if you want to also call me on Skype and get a palm reading, all we have to do is have a very good connection, have your webcam going, hold your hands up. And actually, the cam actually gets some really good details to your palms. Guarantee it'll be a great experience you've ever had. And I guarantee you call me and get a reading with me, it'll be one of the best readings you ever had. We go 100% full out. And you get all that attention, all right? So let's go and check out some of the things here. Also, I wanted to say something else, too. If you know, we're also looking for sponsorship and love to sit down and talk to each and every one of you guys who actually feel like this is a good format that you want to sponsor. If you want to sponsor this show, please give us a call at my private number, which is actually 740-500-8863. If you're a person who wants to advertise, and you think this would be a good format to actually do a couple of commercials, you know, get us to advertise your product, and you have a little dialect or something you want to go along with that, please give us a call at 740-500-8863. We'd be glad to promote your product, services, or whatever that is. If you're a fellow psychic who would like to get some get some advertising and that kind of stuff, please do. We'd love to help each and every one of you guys out. If you write a book or, like I said, if you got a product or something you want to get some more exposure with, this is an international radio show as well, so... You know, find out how much it would cost to advertise on a two-hour show, give me a call, and, well, I guarantee we can actually give you a whole lot better deal and a whole lot more insight and a whole lot more exposure. So give us a call, because we also, what we do in the situation, the whole thing, we promote you on the radio show, too, but we also put you on my website, and wherever that website's at, you're going to get that exposure. So let's go and check out some of the things. And if you also want to give a call tonight, we're doing readings here. We'll be here tomorrow. We'll be also here Friday, Saturday, next week. And Sunday, we're going to try to make it all go. We've had a couple of shows here and there where we've been doing a lot of work and that kind of stuff, so exhaustion has set in, so we had to cancel a couple of shows just to get rested up so we could actually really get back into the whole swing of things. But you are more welcome to give us a call tonight at 646-721-9031. And like I said, you know, usually on Sundays, whatever you want to bring into the whole thing, we still do the readings. We still get some insights to the whole thing, but if there's something you want to bring to the table or want to talk about, please do so. And let's go on to our first caller. Let's go back to the quick switchboard. And let's go to, and here it comes. Yes. Here we go. Area code 207. Welcome to the show, and how are you?
Hi, it's me, D. Remember?
It's me, D.
Do you remember, D? We've talked before, and you... ask me sometime if I'd be interested in joining you on your show to give my own psychic input. Oops. I'm not ringing a bell.
No.
Okay, you're on.
No. People contact me through Skype too. So I just got a message at the same time you were talking. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
No. I was. If you want to do some readings with me tonight, you're more welcome to do so.
I'd love to. I need to, you know, get back out of being rusty.
Uh-huh. So what do you do? I think you told me you do cards, right?
No, I don't do.
But
I don't. I'm not a card reader. I'm a clairvoyant and clairaudient. I'm a mental and physical medium. But what I do is straight readings. I consider myself a channel because I open my mouth and the words fall out. I don't always know where it comes. You know, why I say what I say. I channel everything, whether I'm talking to you or doing a reading.
Yeah.
I just quote Paul Simon. I know what I know. And
okay,
I don't know how I know
it. Before you do a reading for anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, before you do a reading for anybody else, you got to do one for me.
Ooh, you're putting me on the spot, but okay, go for it.
I'm sorry, dear, we have no spots. you're yeah, we don't have no tape movements or anything like that, so you don't have to stand nowhere else. You can do whatever you want to do. Usually when it comes to these situations, I always try to ask the question in a nice, positive way. I got this stuff working out right now, okay? And I want to go back to Colorado by the end of this month. And I'm wanting to go back to Manitou Springs, Colorado. I was going to go to England, but see, I was telling a friend of mine, I just feel like London and England is still a part of the equation, but I feel like I have to go back to Colorado to reestablish and open my shop again and really open up to the point where because I feel like I've been stifled here in Ohio, where people just want to keep me confined. And so I would feel like, you know, we go back there, and I got a lot of stuff coming in. My biggest question, I guess, would say was, I have money coming in all different angles. I want to at least have, I would say, the figure it comes to me is, I want to roll the dice, is $1,200 at least. And I feel like I can really make a good stab at it and actually really get established where I can actually succeed this time without anybody's help except for the people I work with in the first place. And I was wondering what you think about that.
Well, first of all, the first thing that comes that I got when you were talking is you want to be in a better energy area.
Yes.
Correct? Because I feel like where you are right now, the energy isn't that good. I get the sense that maybe there are a lot of people around you that are a little more negative than you'd like them to be.
Yes.
You feel like you don't have the support system there that you have when you're out in Colorado. People don't box you in.
Yes.
Because I think you're very boxed in right where you are. People don't see you as you truly are. They see you as they have their perception, and they put you in a little box, and they can't see beyond that.
Can't agree with that anymore.
What?
Definitely. I said that's definitely, it's definitely putting it out there.
Right, and definitely the point is coming when England will definitely, that's still in the equation. You can't give up on that one.
No, I didn't think I could. I just feel like that Colorado is going to be like, I go to England, go to London, share my life over there with, you know, with doing that whole thing of maybe it's
right.
How would you put that? It's just a thing. What's the word? It's an experience. It needs to be experienced.
Right.
Connect with some like-minded people. Go ahead, sweetie.
You're on the right path. I think you're on the right path.
Yes, and I think Colorado would be where I would, it's like you would go to England as in a visiting mode in a situation like that, even other parts of the country and maybe other parts of the world. But it seems like Colorado would be my base of operation.
For the time being, definitely.
Because I was sitting there talking to a friend of mine, too, and she said that, she goes, remember back in, way back when I was in a reading for you, she said, I told you that when you go to Colorado, you're going to meet some girl with dark hair, and you're going to become, she goes, you're looking to go out there and maybe reestablish and maybe open your shop again, but she goes, I feel like you'll be working with a healer in their shop, and then it'll be something that you guys will eventually be doing, it'll evolve in something you're doing together. And I said, okay, does that mean that, because I've also done the card readings myself, and they keep saying that the idea of opening your arm up, open your arms, open your life up for a big love. You've been basically praying and focusing on, you know, finding someone who has the same likes that you do, that's someone you can share with. And nice. It's happening now. There's things orchestrating behind the scenes. There's a lot of little variables that are still being put into place and that kind of stuff. But don't sit there and think or hope it's going to happen, because it's happening now. And I was just wondering if that might be also something that would be a part of the equation, too, going out to Colorado. The thing I got was maybe, how would you put this, being out there for about approximately 30 days, I would be in a relationship with somebody. What do you think?
I think that's very possible. She said that the woman that you go to work with, the healer, had long dark hair. And my sense would be a Native American woman.
Long dark hair. The woman, she went on to describe her. She said she would have very long, she'd have dark long hair. She would be, she said she'd be slender, but not, how would she put it? She'd be a little more, she'd be a little bit more on the muscular side. She would be a person that would, as she called it and put it, she would have a six-pack. And she said, not beer. She said, you know what I'm talking about, a six-pack, as in she'd have
yes,
a little
abs. Yes, like Jillian Michaels.
Yeah, she said that you guys would hook up, as in the situation of working together, that would actually evolve very quickly into a relationship. But it just wouldn't start off that way.
Right.
Once in a while.
I think that's very possible. Because you two are going to have so much in common. The kind of people where you can finish each other's thoughts and sentences. You know what the other's thinking, but you finish each other's sentences.
Yeah, because I've always seen myself going to England, London. But
right.
There's always been, it was like you ever seen those visions you got where you really can't see the person, but you know the person's there. So there's somebody experiencing
right. The
experience with you. It just hasn't been made very clear yet, but you can feel the presence, and that's what I was getting. So I was like, okay, maybe the ideal. It's been a cross back and forth anyway, back going to Colorado, going to England first, and getting a lot of insights from other people who say, well, I don't think you'll be going to Colorado. You might be going to England first. And there was actually one reading that told me I would be going east before I would go west. But west would be my final destination, as in that's where I would live. But we also
right.
know just because we have a house and property and that kind of stuff doesn't mean that's where we stay at. It just enables us to have a have something to miss. So we come back and go, England was good, but boy, am I glad to be home. Stuff like that.
No,
what do you think?
Well, I do think you're going definitely meant to be in Colorado. England is one of those things that the word that comes to mind, perhaps maybe it's two words, how you spell it, back burner.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think Colorado. It's one of those things for later. Because I think you have to sort out, because I know there's a woman in England and I know you're very close to, and you've she's called you on the phone and you've you've had the visions of being together and naming your first daughter and all that.
So
I think I think you may be coming into a situation where you're going to have to decide, is your life always going to be in Colorado? Is it always going to be with a healer? Or do you really want to be in England? I think you're going to come to that crossroads where you're going to have to make a decision. Which one is the better choice?
Right.
Which one really holds your heart the most? Which one do you feel the most, the biggest connection with? Because you've got a past life connection with both of them.
That's thrilling. Make the decision a whole lot easier, right?
You know, it's just like, you know, you have it's like there's karma involved here. So you're going to have to, you haven't finished doing, as somebody I know would say, the dance. You have,
uh-huh.
There's something that isn't finished with either one of them, but which one? But you're going to have to make the ultimate decision on which one is the right one. Which one has the deepest
lifetime,
soul connection?
Right?
What?
Yeah, well, I actually had a friend. I had a reading a while back, and this is kind of funny too, because this guy was like, he looked at me one day, and he was like, I can't see how you can deal with the human beings here. I said, what do you mean by that? He goes, because you're a very, very old soul. You know, you're around before time began, basically. Yeah, so it's like, he said, how do you deal with these human beings? I'm like, well, maybe it's because I'm an old soul. I've dealt with, I've learned how to deal and realize. And there are days, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's days where you have people that you work with who have a tendency to, they get a little bit of knowledge, they do a couple readings, and they think that they know everything. And they want to tell you.
Oh, dear God.
They don't realize it. Sometimes with situations, we're not talking about 20 years of doing readings in this lifetime. We're talking many lifetimes, thousands on tops of thousands of helping people in situations that when people say certain things, we have a tendency to pick up very quickly and say, okay, are you thinking or is that what you feel? Because in the process of when I hear someone say, well, this is what I think you should do, I don't want to hear what you got to think. Because you don't know. You're not sure what you're saying. You're saying, I think. And I said, if you ever had a reading with me, I say, no, this is the way it is. This is the message that
exactly.
I'm picking up on you. I have no quarrels about the whole thing. This is the message. And there are some days I go off on people. The other day I was talking to some lady. You can listen to this one, D, all right? I was talking to a lady, and what happened was I was talking to her on Keen. Yeah, contact me through Keen, guys. And right now we got a special for 99 cents a minute, so check it out. But I was sitting there talking to this lady who had called me up, was asking questions, and you could tell by the anticipation in her voice. She couldn't wait to get off the phone because she wanted to go call somebody else because I didn't tell her what she wanted to hear. And I thought I heard her say bye, and I thought she hung up. And I said, I just kind of like mumbled off the top of my breath. I said, okay, fine. Go find somebody who's going to kiss your ass and tell you what you want to hear. And she goes, excuse me?
You.
I was like, oh. And she's like, she said, excuse me? I was like, oh, shit. She's still on the line. I thought she hung up. But like I've said to everybody before.
I applaud you. I have to applaud you because, you know, too many people, because I know that I've used to work on LivePerson. And
right.
When I didn't have a computer for a while, they can be. But I went there specifically because they needed some people on there that were the real deal. And I made it clear in my profile, that I don't sugarcoat anything and I don't tell you what I think you want to hear. And if that's what you're looking for, go to somebody else. I'll be kind to you, but I won't tell you what I think you want to hear. And if you want sugarcoating, forget it, because I'm not for you. And I applaud those.
Right.
Because I've had people read for me, and I know dang well, because I used to get exchange readings, and sometimes I would pay some of them low prices. And it was astounding. People, I know in the long run, they were telling me what they thought I wanted to hear. No, what I want to hear is what you actually get. And I make that clear. If I don't like what you have to tell me, I'll get over it. But you tell me what you honestly get. And that's, that's why I applaud you, because you've got to be ethical. It doesn't do anybody any good.
Too. Right, that's what we were saying before. When we sit here and say light workers, always put the light on the situation. You might not like the way the light is put on the subject, but that's your perception of looking at it. So that person is being mean to that person. No, it's called blunt straightforwardness. And I've actually had this when I was in Colorado too. I had a friend of mine who used to say, you know, when you tell the truth and you hurt someone's feelings, you're being rude. And I would always say, well, stand back because I'm fixing to be rude again because I've read the Bible. It doesn't say, thou shalt not lie, but here's a couple of equations just in case that you can lie. It doesn't say that. There's no, assertions on the bottom that says you can lie on these subjects. And we've had that one scenario. My friend always tells me, she goes, but there's certain times that you have to lie. And I'm sitting there going, no, there's not. And she goes, I'll give you an example. And she has an example that you have a neighbor who's basically beating his wife up, who is threatening to kill this woman. Now she runs to your house, you open the door, you hide her in your closet. And she goes, when the guy comes to your door, you have to lie to him. I said, no, you don't. And she goes, what else can you do? I said, don't answer the door.
Bingo.
There's choices in every scenario. There's also what I call, if you really open yourself to them, win-win situations every time. I've seen too many of them. And in the process of manifestation, one thing you will also notice in a true manifestation that's really supposed to happen, that happens in everybody's best interest, it's a win-win situation. Everybody gets what they want. I've had situations where people have sought me out and helped me and gave me a ride somewhere who also wanted to get a couple questions answered because I'm a psychic. So see, two people both got what they wanted. They got their answers to their questions, and I got a ride home. So look, if, mm-hmm. Open yourself for those situations. You'll see what it's going with the flow, okay? So you think I'll still be able to hit my – because right now I'm trying to look past the illusion because I got people who owe me money. I got a company. Mm. There's a company I was working for. There's a company I've been working for, and it's a company called ZMC Psychics. And you should really check it out. I think it's a smaller company, and you know they're really great to work for. But
I know I joined somebody,
and
I forgot who they were.
Right.
I did a phone interview, and I've forgotten which one it is online. I just have to go and look up Carl, and I don't know who it is because I haven't done anything with him. I'm just getting back into a point where I'm trying to take care of myself because people have a tendency to drain me. I met a woman on LivePerson. We were, you know, doing exchange readings.
Right.
This is a woman who drains me because she goes through her periods of calling me and she's obsessed with someone and she can't get it through her head. She knows he's bad for her, but you can't tell her anything and she might call me up. Well, what do you think X is doing now? Well, is he with anyone now? On and on. It's like, Linda, and sometimes, to be honest, I don't even know if what I'm giving her is actually what I'm picking up or it's just, you know, common sense or something because she just drains me. Like, enough.
Mm-hmm.
Get up. You know, you can't tell. There's certain people you just can't get through to. For some reason, she's got it so bad she can't see. She's called me up before in tears because somebody that this guy got involved with, she calls, you know, makes their life miserable. It's like, Linda, you know, the guy calls, she calls me up in tears. Uh-huh. So-and-so said that X is dead. No, he's not dead. You know the freak does this. It's like, oh, God. You want to scream. I hate psychic vampires.
Right.
They just bring you down. And
yes.
you get so drained. No. Your life is, you're making the right steps. You're moving in the right direction. Things are changing. People still owe you money, and there's some people it's going to be a little hard to get it out of them. But I think eventually you're going to get you're going to get what's coming to you. That was a good time.
ZMC, I'm still going to get paid for ZMC in a check here, and I was actually thinking I was going to get it Friday, which it didn't show up. So I'm looking at the situation going, the 7th keys coming up, which is actually, I think if I'm not mistaken, what is today? How's it going?
Today's
the
5th.
Yeah, so I was getting it was either going to be Monday or Tuesday, but the 7th came up, and I was just trying to say, okay, is it, and the 7th wasn't really clarified. It was just like the 7th came up, and you felt like it was a sense of before, like I would get it on Monday, which is the 6th. Now, what do you think about that? Ooh.
What do I think? I think that somewhere between.
How do you feel?
My sense is it's very possible you'll get it on the 6th.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't get it on, for some reason, you say the 7th, and either my brain's playing tricks on me because I know my brain. I get the 8th, but I think somewhere between. It's somewhere between Monday and Wednesday. I think definitely that would be my sense.
Okay.
Because I know things are starting to change for you. I think there's a... would I be correct in saying you've got an energy shift going on?
Yeah.
I was going over
a lot of stuff where it was like, it seemed like this month, I was getting a lot of 222s and that kind of stuff. And a friend of mine said, well, we know what 222 stands for in the book, where it's like basically your manifestations and the stuff you've been working on are about ready to come through. But he said, but then someone brought to my attention was, well, maybe the 222s is not a number that the angels are giving to you that you should look up in your book, but it might actually be a date, like February 22nd. So that's why I decided to, after the 22nd, I'm changing my prices. And I still think they're actually really good prices because we're going to change them, and it's going to be $125 for a 60-minute session. But if anybody's ever done a session with me on this show, a 60-minute session can be very intense. We're also doing the 7-card angel readings. You know, it's like, look at the situation, $125 for a 60-minute session. And I throw myself into my sessions, and you're going to get a ton of information. And for a 40-minute session, it's only $75. For a 20-minute session, it's going to be $55. And when we do the one-card 15-minute reading, like I was telling everybody else, can you imagine if someone can actually take one card and do a 15-minute reading? Can you imagine when we do our 7-card spread, exactly what you're going to get out of that one? And that's going to be when I started focus on it. It came to me I should take that and $25 should be good for that one, because I used to do 15-minute sessions when I was in Colorado for $25 for just readings, you know. So we've perfected a lot of things since then. So we're trying to bring all this. We're trying to bring all this stuff that we've worked on to you to actually help you enhance your own life. And then we got the 16. We also have the 90-minute, 2-hour sessions. They're going to go. They're only $135 for a 90-minute to 2-hour session, where you can actually do a past life reading and still get a card reading, or do a life coaching or a relationship counseling session. You can still get a 7-card angel reading with that too, as well. So, I think those prices are very well and very good. So. Mm-hmm. We put a lot of thought into the whole thing. Like I said to everybody else, when you sit down to do the readings, all I ask for is people to come there open-minded, with no expectations, just to take the messages for what they are. Because a lot of people have a preconceived notion in their heads and say, okay, this is what I think it is. And I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but you should also go by the experience. I mean, I can do that. Like, I sit down, I go, okay, when I see this person, I feel shivers. I get certain things when I do my card readings. I try to separate myself, or I ask the angels to give me the answers and the messages. So therefore, I separate my personal and let the readings be what they are. And they have a tendency to be very detailed, where they actually give me not just answers, but they give me prayers and stuff to work with. That I know what's, so I have to be very strong about it. But sometimes when you get readings too, to be objective, you can also look at these things and go, okay, this person is saying something that's just not resonating with me at all, that I feel like I should stick to my own convictions. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just the idea of I'm just saying, when people come into a reading and they're basically refusing to open their minds up to anything, I don't think you'll even get the clarification that you're even right yourself. You know, you got everything closed off. So she said, I'm just saying, go into it, look at it, take it for what it is, because I explain every card. When I do a 7-card angel reading, I'm going to do here too, Dee, right now I'm in the midst of actually putting some videos together to put them on YouTube so you can actually see these readings, because they're called 7-card, a pyramid foundation reading, which is actually, we start off with 7 cards, and then we put 6 cards on top of that one, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. So it's more than a 7-card spread. It's about 36 cards. But it's like a pyramid. It's a real pyramid. We build it like you would build a pyramid, block after block of block, and then it's your life. We also notice that each one of those blocks, also there's always 3 cards touching each other. And each one of those 3 cards have a story within a story. So it's a very powerful reading. And when you get the 7-card, pyramid foundation reading, each one of those layers also represents your chakras. So we can also give you insights to your chakras, your aura, your life, get the answers that you're looking for, your questions. I mean, when you get these readings, they're very insightful readings. When you walk away, I don't think you're going to have any more questions. So you can see that we can sit here and look at the city and go, ooh, $125. But I guarantee you, if you sit down and get one of these sessions, I've had too many people right now say that I'm actually charging too little. So if you look at the situation as the, I guess you would sit there and say, by popular demand, that's why the prices are going up. So you, it's like, you wanted it, you got it. So I always tell everybody else, too, when you call the numbers, I've had a couple of people who called me up and say, I don't have that kind of money, but I do have a deal. Please come to me and call me and put those deals on the table. I've never said no to anybody. I've never turned anybody away. So don't be scared.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm just saying, I feel like people were crossing paths for a reason, so let's make it happen.
Right.
But don't be scared because of a freaking, because it says $125. Call me up. I guarantee we can definitely come to a win-win situation where it works for both of us, okay?
No, that's happened for me before because I don't have any money, and I people have given me readings in exchange for a necklace for me.
Mm-hmm.
No.
All I say is don't come to me with chickens. I don't take chickens. But
don't take chickens. Take a piece of jewelry. I could use a good past life reading or something. I wasn't joking either, actually. I was serious.
I can take a side of beef.
A what?
But I can take a side of beef because if I don't want it, I can always sell it.
Well, you can always take the necklace and sell it. Anything I make is never under $100 anyway, so.
Right. So you think that my goal by the end of February of hitting that $1,200, you think I'll get it?
If you don't get the full $1,200, you'll be well on your way.
Okay. So we
and
should
be
flexible.
Be well on your way.
Go with the flow.
Go.
Right.
This is a good time for you to go with the flow. This is a Pisces time. For some reason, I know it's not quite Pisces yet, but we're coming up on it.
Pisces. Actually, the girlfriend I was talking about she's also a Pisces, too. Isn't that kind of good? But, you know, I'm open-minded and saying, hey, you know, that's like the angels are saying, don't put any expectations on it. The relationship that you're looking for, that twin flame, soulmate connection, that relationship you've always been working with, to find that person who's like-minded as you are, that you, because I've had people say this, and I guess it's perception too, what you really want to find, but I was sort of looking at the situation and saying, okay, some people don't want to be with somebody, but they, like they're psychics, they don't want to be with psychics, because they do psychic work all the time. Me personally, to have somebody to actually talk about what and who knows what I'm talking about, because mine is more than just psychic work. I mean, it's spiritual work, constantly reading the books and that kind of stuff. Let me ask you a question. I've been focusing and this one thing keeps coming to me all the time. I keep getting the creative writing card where it just keeps saying, you need to get a digital recorder and start writing this book. And it was actually three books in the works. And they keep telling me if I would just sit there and put my focus right into these books, they could actually be out by the middle of next year.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about that? Is that too intense for you?
No. No.
Okay.
For some reason, it was sort of passing through my mind. The best piece of advice that I ever got from a fellow psychic, it was when I was first knowing about myself because I was shut off as a child. But anyway, she told me, always go with your first impression, never your second, your third, and never second guess yourself. So, bottom line, go with your gut.
Okay, Dee.
I swear by that piece of advice,
that.
And I pass it on.
I appreciate that. What?
Yeah.
All I want to say to you right now is we have a lot of people in the queue, so let's get to these people and let's give them some answers.
Okay.
So I'm gonna go to my first caller here. I'm trying to as soon as we see it pops up. I pushed the button, but it's taking a little bit of time to kick in. Come on. Oh, there we go. Area code 678. Welcome to the show. How are you? Say hello to Dee, and what's your name?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Okay. I am open to hearing whatever the angels have to say for me.
Well, they seem to like you. That's a good thing. What'd you say your name was? I'm sorry.
Sue.
Sue? How do you do, Sue?
Okay.
I mean, how do you really feel at this moment? I know you're sitting there saying, okay, we want to be, I want to be open to what the angels are going to say. But it seemed like in the process, you still have some expectations of some questions that you're really hoping to get answers. So I was just like, the first thing that came to me was, how are you really? How do you feel?
I have just ended a very tough 2-year relationship, and I'm hurting. I'm hurting.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping the best for the man that I was with. I know that I did all I could to help him, and it wasn't
mm-hmm.
enough.
Would you also say that? Go ahead.
So you're
wishing. Go ahead.
I'm wishing what? I would like the opportunity to try to help him again, but I don't think it's a healthy thing for me to do.
I agree with you.
Okay, how much? Yeah, how much work? It's like this, Sue. How much have you done with you? So I feel like it's time for you.
I agree.
It's almost like this last relationship that you were in, you really got intense with the situation. You said you're saying I was good for him. In the process of being good for him, you have also lost yourself because you gave so
mm-hmm.
much, and he seemed to take it all. I just don't feel like he ever really gave you back the full. I just get the impression he never really gave back fully. There was always questions and always hesitation and caution. Like, you have to give to me unconditionally, but I have been hurt. And I really get sick of the 21st century man and always saying, I've been hurt. Whoop-de-freaking-do. Who hasn't? It's time to get over yourself, dude, and start living life. Because
right.
I agree with that.
And I'm just saying, I've heard this so many times where people are going, well, hey, you know, I've been through all this guy. He's been hurt. He's been through this. Yeah, but next thing I know, I'm going to say, are you talking about your 9-year-old son? You know, this is an adult guy. How's he ever going to really stand up and actually be a man if someone doesn't put him in that spot and make him deal with these consequences of his actions? Because a lot of times we find out with these guys what's really going on is what caused the fallout and these hurts and these bad relationships. They were part of the equation too, and they have not taken that into consideration. It was always the other person, and it's not taking anything away from you. I'm not saying you're a bad person. You are a giver, but see, we have to realize one thing in life. There's a thing called balance, and a lot of people don't think understand what that means. Giving and receiving.
I do.
Not one is better than the other. They have to be a balance between the two, or you put yourself in a state of imbalance. So therefore, giving and receiving, they're 100% both need to be done. Not one or the other, because a lot of people say, I'm a giver. I said, yeah, but the receiving part's failing. Because you're not taking the consideration of what you're giving out. The receiving is very important because you get back what you put out. So therefore, in the process of helping someone with giving and nurturing that person, the giving, as in the receiving, it comes back to you. That's the nurturing that comes back to you to help you too as well. So see, it's a cycle. The omega, if you look at the omega, there is no beginning, no end. And when you give and receiving, there is no end. It's a continuous thing. And when you get into a relationship with somebody where there's not that continuous cycle, that continuous energy, it's time to get rid of things in your life that no longer contribute to your happiness. And the idea of a person like this, you're not a therapist. You're not a psychotherapist. You want to be a girlfriend.
Exactly.
And it seems like in that relationship, yes, but you never had a chance to be a girlfriend.
Yeah, that's exactly what he needed, because he's a bipolar schizophrenic.
Oh,
yeah, but if you sit and take a look at those situations, doctors have a tendency to put titles on things. But if you take it back and take the titles off, it's an imbalance within one's body. And it always traces back to emotions. And when you have imbalance between the spiritual and the physical, that's when you start having these ailments. It's just someone's come along and put a title on it. To me personally, titles stink, because they make us think that there's no cure. When the truth is, all he needs to do is to really focus on spirituality within himself, bipolar and all these other things would go away. because they don't really exist. They're illusions. They're just imbalances. And people want to sit there and say, hey, people can get on my case right now if they want to. I'm sick of reading in books that says, I can't really do any influence. I can't really give you any kind of cures. I'm not saying a cure. I'm saying when you sit there and balance your spiritual self and realize that you're a spiritual being inside of a human body, that to have balance means to realize that you love your car, and it does bring balance to your life because it enables you to go from point A to point B, but you don't let your car make decisions for you. And that's what you're doing with your body, with your emotions. You're going, I love this person, I care about this person, but you're letting those make the decisions for you. What you need to do is take a step back and go, no, no, no. The emotions are just for exchange. They're just for expression, not making decisions. The decisions is the idea of what you really feel like you need to do, what you want to do. And then after you made that decision, then you can express yourself because you're with that person. And it's okay. You know, like, wow, I'm feeling tense. It's okay. That's what we always talk about, the pulling part. The pulling part pulls you together because you want to express that love to that person because you can feel it. So that's what I'm saying with the situation here. Will there ever be anything between you and this guy? First of all, I'm sorry for being so impolite, but what is his name?
Bobby.
Bobby?
Yes.
I'm just putting it in perspective with everybody. Right now, just wipe it all that, you know, just look at the situation and go, this is the time for you. And that's all you really need to focus on. Because what you're trying to do, a lot of things that you want to do, even the idea of helping Bobby ever again, you need to take this time for yourself. You really do. I was looking at the cards and it says romance, but it's also saying miracles and abundance. And it's all, and I also keep getting the fingers to keep pointing back at you.
Yeah, it's her time for her.
Okay.
What do you think, Dee? Give us a little insight.
I agree. It's she's got to take care of herself right now, because if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be good for yourself or for anybody else. And he's drained you. He dragged you down, not necessarily because he intended to, but he did. And you've got to take some time for yourself, love yourself, do things that you want to do, things that make you feel good, things
you
that
know,
you really
I have,
enjoy doing.
I have questions. We were classmates back about 35 years ago, and he always was telling me how much he adored me, and I just really, my question is was he just using me, or, because he has been in a pattern, from what I understand, throughout his whole life, so I really wonder if he really loved me, or he loves me, or he just was, I was just convenient for him at the time.
Well, when you sit here and look at the situation, you see a person, you have a person here, okay? You have a person here who's capable of loving you, but also he's done a lot of things out of fear. And you can't do both. And you can't fear and love. You either do one or the other. And when you look at the situation of using you, it's trying to put it in perspective here and say, in the process, yes, he was using you, but it's like a person who's drowning. The first person that comes along that they grab a hold of, they use to get out of the water, but they don't do it intentionally. They do it because they're scared of drowning. They're scared of dying. They're scared of being emotionally, you know, just scarred. So they have a tendency to grab a hold of the first person that comes along and go, oh, I got to get out of the water. And so, see, you see the thing. They're using you, but they're not using you intentionally. And I think that with all the things he's been doing here, of not confronting and facing his fears and confronting and facing himself, it would feel like it's using you. I guess in the purest sense it is using you. But I'm just trying to help you understand that that wasn't his intent. But in the process of being with you, it was easier to do that because you were such a giving person that he just kept on taking and taking. And that's what I was saying before, where in the process of giving, I've been there myself, where you constantly keep giving all the time and you start giving up bits and pieces of your personality and yourself because you think you have to, because you're hoping to make a difference in this person's life, not realizing, first of all, it's not your responsibility to make a difference in his life, and the idea that you really can't be yourself. See, when you first got together, you were being totally who you were, and probably in the beginning it worked pretty well. It's just that in the process of trying to make it work and giving up those little bits and pieces of yourself, you realize those bits and pieces are part of your foundation. So that's why we have the weakness within the relationship itself. And also with the situation, there's a weakness on the other side. But sometimes we have a tendency when we're in relationships, we have a tendency to think we have to bring ourselves down to that weak point to actually make it work, not realizing that we have to be true to ourselves and realize if it's not working, it's not working. And we have to put the person in the situation and say, okay, the only way he's ever going to deal with his consequences and to really see what he's doing is to put him in that position. And the idea of coming in and saving somebody all the time keeps them from hitting the freaking ground. But they also don't have a chance to really see themselves. Okay? So it's like looking at the person and going, okay, if I be myself, and that's what a lot of guys, I love guys particularly, but a lot of times in relationships, the other person will try to get you to dim your reflection because of what it reflects back to them. They don't like seeing that because they're seeing them true. They're seeing their true selves. Ooh, I gotta do some things with myself. Okay, and they don't want to do that. So what they'll do is they'll start saying, you know, you're being mean. You need to stop doing that. You need to back off. And what they're actually saying is, this reflection is too intense. I don't want to deal with it. So they're going to start working on you first because they don't want to deal with themselves. So it's best for you to make you go away. And a lot of relationships are like that too, when we're confused because a person will turn around and take off and leave us, or they'll start pushing us away. That is a true sense of somebody who really does really care about you, who doesn't want to deal with their feelings and their emotions and how they really deeply do love you. It's just that when they see that, it's hard to see that kind of reflection because they don't have that kind of love for themselves. And I know we always talk about the situation saying, well, you got to love yourself before you can love somebody else. Okay, well, when you first meet each other, and you're being your total self, more than likely you are being your total self, so you love each other then, so you get that intensity. It's just that when you stop being true to yourself, those feelings can work against you because not being true to yourself, you're weakening the foundation, so therefore those emotions and feelings will take you over. And you don't realize that when you have a strong foundation being taken over, you love it. But when you don't have a foundation, you feel like it's a threat. And then you start looking at those other people too, like Bobby would look at you. I've had a situation where she's looking at me, and they say, well, you're a bad person. And we've also seen the same situation. We have two people who fight and who hate each other. They don't hate each other. They hate themselves. They don't like themselves. And the reflections is a mutual reflection. So they're both sitting and seeing all these things they don't like about themselves. So they're going to sit there and look at the other person instead of realizing that. They're going, I don't like you. When actually what they're saying is, I don't like myself. But it's easier to blame you. Yeah.
Yes, it's very.
So when we look at this, he has a very what?
Big ego and very big on power struggles.
Of course he is. He wants to control everything because he has a lack of control within himself. That people say he's he has an ego problem or he's got a big ego. That's because he's allowing the ego to take over. Because the ego is telling him, you know, if you don't do this, or if you don't sit there and control the situation, or if you don't sit there and get the upper hand on everything else, it's always control, control, control. And when you really get into the true sense of spirituality and you balance the physical with the spiritual, you realize that there is no such thing as control. It's called flow. When you go with the flow, everything's going to happen just the way it's supposed to. You know, it's one of those things that no matter what you do or don't do, life has a tendency to proceed to go forward. So we have an ego. We have an ego maniac here who's saying he's let the ego take over to the point where I get the impression there's also some actions of his own he doesn't like. But he's also allowed the ego to do that. And I was saying before earlier, too, that no one or no thing has ever hurt you. It's these things that you allow to happen to you. And people go, that's crazy. It's not crazy. It's always that little voice inside of you that hurts you the most. And the hurt is more of a realization, like you look at the situation, relationships, and people go, this person hurt me because of what he said. And I think the reason it really hurts is because what that person just said to you is more truthful than you like to think. And you just realize that you just realize that the love that you were giving is really true. You were just giving it to a person who couldn't give it to you.
Right.
So it hurts you when the person says things to you, but just take it for what it is. Okay, now I know. So therefore, let's respect myself, love who I am, and go out there and realize that who I am, I will find somebody who will appreciate it as much as I do. I will find somebody who wants me as much as I want them.
Bingo.
But we have to take this step. We got to walk away from the situation and say, Bobby, you're on your own, dude. Go ahead.
I don't know how to cut myself off from my feelings that I have for him.
You don't have to. Honor them. That's also another illusion. Two people think, well, you know, like the ego. Got to get rid of the ego in favor of spirituality. No. That's what we talk about, the physical part. You've got to balance the physical with the spiritual, which what we're saying is the ideal of the ego can work for us, can also work with us. So when we feel something, as we focus more on spirituality, our feelings, when we say spirituality, we're talking about clairvoyant, clairaudience, all the gifts that we have, that everybody has to make decisions. Okay, in the process of making decisions, when we look at the situation of having balance, we realize that the ego is there to actually motivate us, not to talk us down. And when it's talking us down, it means it has more power than it has. So what we try to do is look at the both and look at the situation and go, okay, it's getting all to work together. And to realize one thing, when we say together, is to realize the physical and the spiritual exist on the same plane. So it's like we look at priests and pastors and that kind of stuff who have a tendency to do these god-awful things. It's because they suppress their feelings of their physical part. That there are certain wants, needs, and desires that have to be honored. And if they don't, they have a tendency to come to the surface. And if they're suppressed, it's like a firecracker. A firecracker can be the most harmless thing when you put it on the palm of your hand and it goes off, boom. These little powdered dust, you know, that kind of thing. But if you take the same firecracker and put it in your fist and grasp it, it will blow your hand off. You see what happens when you suppress something? It's more dangerous. And when you suppress those feelings, they have a tendency to come to the surface sometimes when you least expect it, and you have a tendency to do things you wouldn't normally do. But when you honor those feelings and you let those feelings be, it's the ideal. Let them be. If you want to get angry and get mad and that kind of stuff, and you don't want to take it out on somebody else, then go out and yell at a tree. If it dies, that's your fault. But, you know, I'm just saying, there are solutions. So when you, it's like I do that, I used to do that all the time. What I suggest in situations like that is to go hiking, not to go yell at a tree, because trees do have feelings too. And I've hugged many trees, so trust me on that one. But I'm just saying, with the situation of cutting your feelings, it's also to realize one thing, sweetie. People have asked me this question so many times. I still love my ex. Of course you do. Isn't that normal? You're a loving, caring, nurturing person. So of course you still love your ex. But it's also to come to conclusions, a realization, and say, okay, it doesn't work with us being together. But I can still love that person. And also wish for the best for him too, but also realize that you are destined for somebody else. And the realization of that, to realize he is too. So let him go so he can have his life, and so can you. That makes sense, doesn't it?
It does.
So you can still be that loving, caring person and still wish the best for him.
He was part of my daily life, and for the last 4 days, I haven't spoken to him at all. And today was his birthday.
Today was his birthday?
Yes, and I hung tight and didn't contact him at all either. So I don't know if I'll hear from him again.
Well, I will say this. I get the impression that just this one birthday is not going to deter him from actually contacting you, and I feel like you're going to hear from him many times in the future if you choose to.
Okay.
Let's go to Dee and see what Dee thinks.
Well, I agree with everything you said to her. I think it's absolutely right on. I think that it's up to her. If he wants a contact, it's up to her how, you know, how she handles it. Do you want to talk with him again, or do you want to just let him be? You have to make that decision. But you can't let him run your life for you. You're going to have feelings for him. That's natural. But like Donnie said, release him with love. Let him. He's got to find his way, and you've got to find yours, because there is somebody out there for you who will love you for you, just the way you are, who will see your beauty, who will not try to control you or drag you down, look at you and say, well, you know, you're being mean or whatever. He'll accept you just as you are, and you won't be losing bits and pieces of yourself. You'll be gaining something. You'll have somebody that truly loves you, respects you, and wants you. You'll make some great memories. You'll have things that you share, things in common. And suddenly everything will be, you know, everything will feel really wonderful again. Life is never going to be 100% perfect. But you'll have a better quality of life, and you'll feel better about yourself. You'll have that self-confidence that I think you're lacking right now. I don't think your self-confidence is way down there on the ground, but I think it needs to be a bit higher, and you need to see how beautiful you are, because you're a beautiful person.
Thank you.
Yeah,
and loving people are always beautiful.
Yeah.
And you just need to understand. Yeah, go ahead.
I got the two Fs. I got forgiveness and freedom.
Exactly.
Forgive and let go, and that's the freedom part. To realize that there's nothing, I guess you would sit there and say, there's nothing that you have to do but be yourself.
Exactly.
That's what brought those two together in the first place. Like I was saying before, it's like I definitely feel like that she's going to be with somebody, but I also got the resistance card, where it was like divine timing. Divine timing is when you let down the resistance, is when things have a tendency to come into physical form. And it almost got this message that she could be with somebody right now if she really wanted to be. It's just the idea of releasing this situation, this person and stuff, and let things fall into place that they were supposed to do in the first place.
There's that old expression, like go and let God.
Yeah.
Right.
What was that, sweetie? Susan?
So there is somebody in my future. Okay, is it too far off, or how much longer?
Okay, well, let me ask. What we're going to do is we're going to answer this one question for her, but we do have a lot of people in the queue that I really want to get to. But I will say one thing to you. Like I said before, the card I got was divine timing, and I've always told people that divine timing to me is up to you. You know, they're saying this is when it's going to happen. But your resistance is still up. And I feel like once you drop that resistance and you let this go in favor of you, is when we see someone else who comes into the situation, who comes into your life, who also sees you for who you are.
Okay.
The pure, the true, the thing that you're looking for. Unconditional love. No expectations, just... Yeah, it's taking you for who you are. Because I just feel like Bobby has actually made some statements that he feels like there's certain things that you should tone down, I guess you would say. You're too intense. But I don't feel like you are too intense. I just feel like you're very passionate.
Yes, I am.
I agree with you.
You need to recapture that passion and just go, this is who I am, and I have no excuse for it. This is who I am, so I'm not making excuses for who I am. So therefore, if you can't deal with it, I don't think I should change me. It's like, no, we're not going to do that. We've done that before, and we've got nothing but bad results. So therefore, we're going to stick to our guns in this whole one too. You know, people might think we lose people, but actually, when we look at the situation, it's just that those people are refusing to look at the reflection of what they can be, because of who we are. We are good examples. So therefore, like I said before, sometimes when we've shined the light on things, people don't like it, but or maybe they don't even agree with how we do it. But we're not here to do it the way they wanted to do it. We're just here to pass the message.
Right.
So, Susan, it was a pleasure talking to you, and thank you for
thank
calling.
You so much.
And please.
Thank you. And thank you,
Dee. And I can.
No, take care, Susan.
If you get a chance, Yeah, Susan, if you get a chance to sit down and get a private reading, I appreciate it. But if you don't, please contact us and tell us how your life is going and tell us some of the things that are happening. Because I feel like, realistically, you lay down the resistance, I keep getting 2 months, you could be in a great relationship, romantically.
Okay. I'll
Alrighty.
Work on
be
it.
Open, Susan.
I'll certainly work on it.
All righty.
Do you feel that way,
too? Does Dee feel that way? Do you feel that way, too, Dee?
Yes,
about
I agree
months?
With you. Be open, Susan, and love yourself, because you're worth loving.
Thank you
just
very
erase
much.
The negative, just erase the tape. Erase all the negative stuff
yeah,
that Bobby told you, and look at yourself as a beautiful, passionate person, and be yourself, and somebody will love you for you.
Well, you know, you could make a, you could, if you want to simplify it like this, just look at the situation like this. You're a gift to the world. When people don't see you as a gift, then they don't have the right to be, they don't have to be, I guess you would say they don't have a right to be in your life. And look at the situation for what they are. Because you're a gift, you've helped many, many people, and it's one of those situations, now it's time for Susan to be cherished, loved, and adored. I just want you to do that first for yourself, okay?
Okay. I will. Thank you
Alrighty.
So much.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye. You have a great night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye.
Let's see. So, Dee, let's go into another caller. What do you say?
Okay.
If you say no, we're going to kick you off the show. No, I'm just kidding.
How what?
I said, if you say no, we're gonna kick you out the door. But I don't think you're going to say no.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I know where the bodies are buried.
Right. Well, we're going to find that one out, do we? Okay, now our next caller is actually area code 1. Hold up one more time. Our next caller is 417. Say hello to Dee. Welcome to the show, and what's your name?
Hi. My name is Mason.
Mason?
Yeah, Edward Mason Cook. Mason.
Okay.
Hello.
So Mason,
Hi.
How can we help you out?
Yeah. I was just kind of on the terms of her. Like, what do you feel like the angels are kind of telling me for my life, and maybe to move forward on in my life? Or what am I doing
okay.
right? Or I don't know.
What are you doing?
I mean,
well, actually, we look at the situation of right and wrong. We kind of take that away and say there is no such thing as right or wrong. It's just the idea of make a decision. You go down a path and you learn something.
Okay.
Evil and evil, yeah, good and evil exist, of course.
Amen.
But when we talk about decisions, humans like to sit there and put a little twist on it. So that's wrong, because when we started talking before about giving and receiving, people say that it's better to give than it is to receive, not realizing they're both important. It's the same thing with structure and flow. Everybody says, well, you should be more structured or you should go with the flow, when actually both are important. We had this scenario where we told everybody flat out, think about the river of life. We always talk about go with the flow of the river. But see, the canoe itself is structure. Without that structure, you can't go down the river. You can't go with the flow. So they both work hand in hand. So I was looking at your situation, I was actually looking at your area code 417. I was actually looking it up in the angel book, because when you sit there and said messages from the angels, the quickest way to get messages is to pay attention to reoccurring numbers. And yours was, I saw it and I was just like, we do this usually on all the shows, but we've kind of got away from it. All of a sudden I looked at your number, I'm like, well, he said message, we need to take a look at this. So it says 417 says the angels want you to know that all of your positive affirmations, visualizations, and prayers have put you on the fast track to realizations of your dreams. So keep moving, keep going forward. It also says, to go on with 418, it says, keep up the good work as your optimism, outlook, and connection to the angels have opened the gateways to financial abundance. So you got those all this stuff going on in your life right now, and I feel like you have a lot of questions.
I do.
You also
it's like this this girl Tina in my life right now. She's she's kind of trying to get her life on track too, and I totally understand where you're coming from, and so am I also, because I've made you know, some decisions in my life that haven't been the best, but I've also been, you know, climbing the ladder of, you know, learning, living to learn finally. And I just don't, you know, she has a child right now, which that's okay. Somebody's going to accept that at some point. But I don't have any children right now. And it's kind of difficult for me to, you know, be staying with her while I'm going through nursing school and, you know, and everything else and stuff like that. And she kind of makes me depressed a little bit and everything else, but kind of holds me back a little bit. And on terms of, like, I just want to clean my room sometimes. I just want to do this, but she's always wondering where I'm at, you know?
No, I understand. It's the idea of us. That's a lady. We have a lady there. It's like she's got her insecurities, and she's looking at you as foundation. And you're right. It's like you want to sit there and clean house and just say, oh, you need to focus on your own foundation. And she does. Because realistically, at this time, to have a really good, to have any kind of relationship with her would probably end up in a failure because she's not taking care of her own foundation. She's almost like she wants to... She wants you to be the, she wants you to be the foundation for both of you, and that's just not going to work because we look at the situation. I tell everybody, look at a bridge. Look at a simple bridge. They both have two columns, one without the other, it don't work. You know, so it's the same thing with here. You know, you could carry it for it's like you could have a really strong column and have a weak one, but eventually the weak one is going to give, and it's going to take the strong one with it.
I like that. I love that. You know, I love that. I'm just, I'm big into reading, you know, I don't know if I can say this, but like spiritual things, you know, like Bible and stuff like that. I don't know if I can say that, but yeah, I am. And, you know, I'm really into...
Man, go right ahead. I actually have a Bible of my own.
Awesome. Okay, like morally and stuff like that, I know it's what, you know, God brings out sin because he just wants you to know what sin is, basically, and stuff like that. And I try to speak with her nonstop all the time, but she says it just feels good. I know what the scripture says on that point, but I know she doesn't too, and she doesn't take it literal. So I'm like, well, I'm trying to take this literal, and I'm looking at my, I guess not sin point, but just like to move forward in that point of view, and maybe even going to pastoral services and missionary work and stuff like that. But she just doesn't understand, and you know, and she still accepts. Things that we're doing.
It's a spiritual connection. You see, when you read the Bible, you read the Bible through the spirit, and you interpret it through your heart.
Correct.
Now, people always want to sit there and do on the physical. People want to do in the physical sense. They go, "Oh, thou shalt not steal," not realizing it has nothing to do with cars.
Correct.
It has to do with stealing. It means when you sit there and hook up with somebody, and you basically connect with it. You know, it's like you say, "Well, I love you," but you don't love them, and you're stealing. You're stealing precious time from them because of the lies that you're telling.
Yep.
That's stealing. That's what they're talking about. It's on a spiritual sense. The Bible is a spiritual context. It's not a materialistic one. And plus, we have to look at God. Does God know what a freaking Mustang is? No. He can't really interpret those things because they're human. Those are human things. But when you put things on a spiritual sense, then you understand that thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery. These are spiritual things. It's like the idea of understanding what is sin. Sin is basically the lack of. So when you have the lack of love, you have a tendency to do mean things to people. But when you love unconditionally, you have a tendency to see things differently where you wouldn't want to hurt anybody. Do you realize if you loved everyone and everything unconditionally, you would never break the Ten Commandments? So therefore, why do you need to even look at the Ten Commandments? Just live it. My mom was sitting the other day, said it too. I said, "Well, geez, you know, I'm sorry. I read my cards and my books and that kind of stuff." She sat there and she goes, "Well, you know, you shouldn't do that because Jesus never did that." So Jesus didn't have a Bible either. She goes, "Well, he is the Bible." I said, "Oh, I get it. So therefore, we should live it." All of a sudden, you could hear crickets. and I'm sitting there going, "That's what I feel. We should live it. It's like a Bible. The Bible is like a map. But do I have to go to the map every time I go to Kingston? Once I've been there, I know how to get there. So I should do it spontaneously. It's the same thing with the Bible. You should love. Do you really need to? I mean, I'm not saying not knocking the Word of God. If you got to go back, of course you do. Every once in a while, I go to Kingston. I haven't been there for a while. I go back to the Bible. I mean, you know, the map. But once you've done that, you have to learn to live it 7 days a week, 24/7. When you live it, after you live it for a while, it becomes natural because it was natural in the first place. It's the idea of the human concept has taken us away from spirituality. Adam was a pure spiritual being until he decided to eat that freaking fruit. And and then he saw duality. He saw both sides. God wasn't trying to be controlling. It was a father. It was being protective. He was trying to protect him and said, you don't need to know about evil. You know, if you don't know about evil, it doesn't exist. And when Adam made that apple, he brought evil into existence. Because of his,
right.
He let it happen. But see, we also look at the situation. Did Adam and Eve leave the garden because they were kicked out, or did they feel they didn't feel worthy? Because if you look at people now, when people do things and their guilt can be a whole lot worse. They can be worse on themselves than anybody ever could be. So if you trace it back to the source, is it what happened? The reason it's like we can be perfect, but our perceptions have a tendency to keep us from perfection.
Okay.
So you look at the situation, you can be...
Go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
Every time I do go against my morality or, you know, something that I believe in and, you know, scripture and stuff like that, if I go against it, it's like I just want to, like, get on my knees and just weep, you know, and I don't think she understands what I'm going through and stuff like that, and it just keeps getting harder and harder and harder and harder.
Yeah, I'm just saying, if it comes to a point where she has a tendency to fall, let her fall. Because when you fall down, you learn to pick yourself up. And after a while, you learn, after you fall down a couple of times, you start learning how not to fall anymore. So, you know, I'm just saying, you know, we have to put people in their consequences of their actions because there are consequences to your actions. But a lot of us have a tendency where we think we have to come in and save people when we're realizing we're actually kind of ruining their journey of actually...
Yeah.
Of self-discovery too.
Yeah, because I was feeling that, you know, it's like, you know, she's like, well, I think you were in my life for a certain reason and everything else, and I'm like, well, I'm sure I am, but it's like I'm in a different level of where I'm at in my life too, and I'm just kind of trying to grow myself and you know, kind of on your morality and where she came from, it just, she believes in the rebellious and just kind of go on the, you know, the easy route and everything else. And I believe that, you know, if you go on with your morality, just like you kind of said, it was like, you know, blessings do come from that and within your, you know, for yourself.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
Awesome. And so like, and I've made some mistakes in my past. Okay. And, and I have one quick question. I do have a court date and possibly coming up, and I had gotten out of all the stuff that I've gotten into and stuff like that, and you know, and I was you know, attending church, and I just, you know, just living for the Lord, and then, you know, just still kind of living one foot in, one foot out kind of thing, and you know, with my friends and stuff, and I just don't know, like, what do you feel about the outcome of that, I guess.
Okay, so you have a date coming up?
Yeah, I'm not sure yet. It hasn't been filed at all or anything else, but I have a date, like, I think sometime in April. And, you know, I know that there's, just like you said, there's consequences to the actions, and I'm just thinking.
Yeah, but I will say one thing too, else. A lot of people don't realize you can actually cancel out karma just by asking for forgiveness. You sit under the Bible and it talks about all kinds of stuff, and you say, okay, I did this. And I've sat there and seen people do certain things where they go, okay, I realize what I've done, and I ask for forgiveness for that. See, so you, what you're saying is you're condoning what you did. So therefore, the karma that was coming back gets canceled out. And so, okay, because you've already learned your lesson, you don't need that karma to come back and teach you anything, because you just basically affirmed it right there. Because I had the same thing, too. Where you're thinking that you're going to have all this worst-case scenario. You're going to eviction court, and you're getting evicted, and all of a sudden you have a tax check that comes two days earlier than it should have. It actually gives you leverage when you walk into that eviction court. You see your landlord. You walk up to the landlord and say, hey, if I give you this money, can I keep my place? don't be scared to ask those questions, because I sit here and did the same thing in a situation where I just walked up to the guy and I go, here, if I give you $950 for all I owe you, can we stay where we're at? And the guy goes, well, I'll do one thing. I'll take the $950, but can you also pay a month in advance as in good measures? I was like, done. Here's your money. Walk out the freaking door. We still went through court and stuff, but like the judge said, as soon as you walk out the door and as soon as he takes money from my hand, everything's void. And I've also seen situations like we were talking about before where we can call them miracles or whatever, but it's also intent of focusing and say, okay, you know, like, hey, I feel like I deserve a different outcome with this situation. And don't be surprised that you might get it, you know, you still go through the consequences, but it's, but the how would you, the consequence itself, as in if there's any jail time like that, it's just thinking you're going to get all this craziness, and all of a sudden it's just probation. So, you know, people always say, and don't listen to everybody else either, too, because you have people saying, well, when I went through this, well, that's them. They went through it. They also have a different, they also have a very narrow mind, and so bad things happen to them.
So you do believe that let's say this, I know the sin thing, whatever, but like, let's say if I just start going with my morality and just start going with my heart on some things, and is there a certain point where, I know God hears you, but like, if you're following his, you know, ways and trying to follow Jesus and his commandments and stuff, and, you know, his blood, of course, cleanses you in the first place, but just to try to follow him and stuff, do you think more favor comes your way?
Yes, I do. Because every time I see that whole thing, the first thing I see is those guys. I can't remember their names, because they're not hard names, but it's the dudes that were in the fiery furnace. They didn't just get burnt.
They didn't get burnt.
They didn't even smell like smoke. They had favor. You know, they walked in the whole thing. And it's like walking into a courtroom, just the same way. Just walk in, and you like, I know. You know, and it's, you know, it's just one of those things. You look at it just like that. And that's why, and tell you the truth, that's the first thing I picked up on, too. I saw those guys dancing in the fire, in the furnace, saying, we have favor. And there's nothing wrong with that whole situation. But, you know, but also you sit here and look at the situation, see what's happening with that situation. If you really look at it very clearly, it's the same thing with Jesus, too. When Jesus was crucified, there were certain things that he still had to go through. But there was also a very positive outcome of why. And the situation, when you go through, doesn't just teach you a lesson, but you're also an example to a lot of other people who also experience certain things that see you going through certain things that also have the same kind of confidence. They can also accomplish the same thing. It's like two people coming together as a relationship, too, as well. That's a very powerful relationship. But it's not that they're just getting that great relationship and finally finding each other. They're also an example to everybody else that they can also do the same thing too. So you see the chain reaction. So when you do get yourself in these situations, it might not happen the way you think it should, but the outcome always reflects exactly what you deserved. So if you have no intentions of forgiving or asking for forgiveness and still walk in that scenario, don't expect, you know, a very positive outcome. But I just feel like with your situation, what you're talking about, that kind of stuff, the answer is definitely yes, and to really focus on the whole thing, you know. But yeah, but the one thing they always talk about too is, yeah, well, Jesus talks. I mean, Jesus and God, when he said talking about prayer is like, you know, go ahead and pray for what you want, and you'll get everything you want as long as you believe it unconditionally, for beyond a shadow of a doubt in your heart, it's going to be that way. Because if you don't, then you're just saying words.
What do you do when you get lonely? Like, what if you're just by yourself? Did you ever live by yourself before?
Yes, and I love it. I'm just saying, sweetie, look at this situation. We work with people all the time, and when I'm home by myself, I'm meditating, I'm reading, I'm focusing. I do a lot of reading. I do a lot of writing. I do a lot of other things, too. But I'm always working on other things. Like, I'll go up in the mountain, and I'll sit there, and I'll focus and work on my own gifts. Like, I'll try to enhance my hearing. I feel like by focusing on my physical hearing, it also enhanced my spiritual hearing. And the same thing with my clairvoyancy and my eyes. I'm just saying, I'm always doing something. And one time I was hitchhiking on the highway. It was 3 o'clock in the freaking morning, and it was so quiet. And this is kind of crazy too. It was like an 8-lane highway, and it was quiet. I mean, it was like you could hear a pin drop. And I said, am I alone? And I heard this voice said, you've never been alone. And I started thinking about all the angels and guides and everything I have around me. So the idea of loneliness is also an illusion, which is a human concept of saying, I need companionship. But it's just one of those things that when you open yourself up to the idea of realizing that companionship, it could be so quick and so fast. I know some people have a tendency to go, what? Yeah, but just look at yourself. If you're focusing on nothing but the loneliness itself, then your focus is on that. It's not opening up your perceptions of being with somebody.
God, I know. You know, after I opened up to my spiritual self, it's like I started to realize that, like, it started coming to my spirit. But then once I started to fall back, I mean, if you kind of understand that, I started to lose that, because I got up. Whenever I was getting up, I was like, I am strength. God is my love. God is light. God is everything, you know. And it was just like really just getting me ready for the day. And then I just lost that after I started hanging out with her again. And then her just sucking the energy out of me and just everything else. And it was just, I see the pattern. And it's just the pattern all the time.
Oh, yeah. So I'm just saying, some people are scared by themselves because they don't like being by themselves, because then they have to deal with those things. But I've been working so long on solutions that I guess I don't have time with that. I mean, I was doing the same with working out. I was working out. I was like, boy, I have all this pain in my chest and shoulders. How could I actually? I didn't want to stop working out. I didn't want to stop doing bench presses. And I found a solution. I just found if I worked on a certain exercise warm in that area, I can still continue to do what I want, because I have no intention of giving things up. And that's what I did. But I'm just saying, with the situation being lonely, just look at the situation and asking yourself, why don't I like being by myself? I've just spent so much time hiking and all this other stuff, being by myself. It's just the ideal that when I was in Tennessee, I did a thing where I was like, I want to prove to everybody that when you ask for something, you get it. And I had a neighbor who wrecked his car, who kept on constantly saying, if I don't have a car, I can't work. I can't keep a job. And what I did was, instead of falling into the same scenario, what I used to do with people is, when they start saying these things, use those as levers to prove him wrong. So what I did was, I hitchhiked into town, got a job where he used to work, and kept that job for about 3 or 4 months. And I didn't have no vehicle, and I actually lived 20 minutes out of town. So what I would do is, every morning I would walk. What I did was, on my little back road, I'd have to walk to the highway first before I could get a ride. And so what I would do, and I asked myself one day, why can't I ask for a ride from where I'm at to get me into town? Why did I always have to walk to the highway first? Because I knew when I walked to the highway, every time I would walk the highway and stick my thumb out, I'd say, okay, guy, I need a ride to work. Somebody would always pick me up. And I always knew it, because they were either really nice people or they were playing gospel music. So, I mean, that's pretty much a good sign, right? So yeah. I sit there and went over the whole thing, but I said, why do I always do that? So what I started doing was, from my house to the highway, I would talk to God and say, hey, how you doing? And just do like I was always taught that, you know, talk to him like he's your best friend, talk to the angels, that kind of stuff, right? So I would do that. There was one incident where I was walking in the town one morning, and we used to have these cows down the road, used to get out, because they'd find some way out of the fence. So I'm walking down the road talking to God. I always have my head down as I'm talking. I just have to look up. As I'm looking up, I looked right into a cow's face, because the cow had gotten out and it was on the road. And I said, oh, shit. I said, oh, sorry, God. I didn't mean to say shit. But it was just so spontaneous to do the whole thing very quickly. And there was actually one incident that I knew for a fact that was kind of like divine intervention, because every Thursday, this one guy would pick me up in this pickup truck. I swear to you. He would pull off to the road, and he would just sit there. And I walked up one day. He had all these windows tinted. No windows ever rolled down. Nothing. He just sit there until I jump. And what I would do is I would get in the back of his pickup truck, and as soon as I get in the back of the pickup truck, he'd zoom off. And what was so funny about it? No communication happened. And the guy would always drop me off in front of this place I worked at every freaking Thursday morning. And about 3-4 months later, this had been going on for the whole time, every Thursday. Finally, the guy sits there and rolled his window down. He said, well, we've been doing this for about 3-4 months. I thought I'd roll out, actually it was about 6 months. He said, I thought I'd roll the window down and say hi. But to have that kind of thing going on, what could you sit there and say it had to be some kind of divine intervention, because there was no communication going on, as in the sense of verbally, but something was going on. I had one guy who would take me to work, and then he would actually take me to work in the opposite direction and then drop me off and go back where his work was in the totally opposite direction. So, you know, I tell everybody all the time, ask for what you want. And when we were talking about this, we talked about this the other day, New Age. I'm sick of hearing the term New Age. These terms and these techniques have been around for thousands and thousands and thousands of years. Because I was sitting there telling this one guy, I said, ask for what you want. And I said, it says it in the Bible. You have not because you ask not.
Yeah. Amen.
So you better start asking. If you are lonely, ask for a companion. If you can't, you know, and ask, I say, okay, guy, if it's going to be a couple months before I have a companion, how about a VCR or a DVD? Keep me preoccupied until that person shows up. But and don't be surprised if you go to the store to get a DVD, you run into the girl of your dreams. That's how it works. When you least expect it. And this, so you can help this girl's in your life right now. You can help her, but be a strong influence. And when you feel like you need to tell her and you need to be stern, you need to follow through with that, because honestly, I swear to you, girls like a strong shoulder. They don't like some guy who cries and whines. They want somebody that they can go to and lean on. They cannot lean onto a guy who is actually shorter than they are because he's whining. So be strong. They might look at you and go, you know, the strong type kind of intimidates me, but they're full of it. It's kind of a catch-22. They want you to come down their level, but they still like that strong shoulder.
Right, and so you don't, I mean, but in all reality, the Sheena girl, you feel like that she's probably something that's not going to be good for my life currently, correct?
No, it's one of those situations where you are there to set an example to her, so to help her understand she can have the life she wants as long as she's willing to stand up on her own 2 feet and get it. And I just feel like a relationship as romantic for you is actually... And the way it comes to me, it could be 2 months down the road, but it's in the opposite direction of her. She's destined for somebody else, and you know that.
Yes, I do. Thank you so much for talking with me, and wow, like, I'm glad that I got to speak with you, and it's amazing that, you said you live by yourself. I mean, you're going through the same things I am. At least I can say that somebody else is going through the same thing I am, and I can get up and, you know, just walk and, you know, start getting my priorities straight and just walk with it and just trust. So.
Well, let's see what Dee, do you have anything to add to that before Mason goes?
I'm agreeing with what, you know, everything you're saying. And he's been talking about eviction, and I can certainly understand that because I'm facing it myself. And it's a tough one. But I'm going to tell him, stand strong. And, yes, definitely talk to God, the angels, because, the solution is coming. It may not be readily apparent, but I do believe you're going to be like me. We're going to come out on the other side.
And
I have disabilities,
like,
and I'm petrified to death. But you're going
to
make it.
And the only thing I would put in there, too, was like, well, I was living in Colorado, and I had a situation where I was running off with some lady, too. And when we started talking about karma comes back, but it also is – but the universe also uses people to also bring back karma on people. to live their consequences. And I was living with this lady, and I was paying like $650 a month for rent. I got behind. I think I owed like $1,100. Well, in the process of having my shop, I actually acquired a client, and I went from, you know, I made $2,000 in 2 weeks, and my angels guide came to me and says, you know, look at the situation. Here's a person who has flat out lied to you. So you now all of a sudden you got all this money comes in your hands. So do you want to pay this person where you're just caught up, but you don't trust her, so you don't know what she's going to do? Or you want to take that money and then go down the road and find a place where you actually pay 2 months in advance? Well, I actually took the choice and went down and paid 2 months in advance. And I started seeing certain things with this person who she told me she had a mortgage to pay and all this other stuff. I found out later on she didn't have none of that stuff. It was just motivation and greed. And those people, it's like, look at the situation, the consequences of your actions. I just think that the consequences of her actions was that she had to go find another tenant for that room, for that apartment or the cottage. So I've seen some situations like that too, where you look at the thing and go, okay, what your guidance and God and the angels are doing is taking you somewhere better. I mean, if you're in a situation where you honestly can't do something, you can't pay a rent or something like that, and you haven't done anything intentionally, like, I'm not paying you because I don't want to, it's just a situation because you can't, I think God and the angels are showing you that the situation is playing itself out just the way it's supposed to take you to a place where it's going to be a whole lot take the stress off you. To realize it's more suitable for you and that kind of stuff. So I'm not saying it's not going to work out for you. I'm just saying look at it for direction. If it takes you to a different direction, open your arms up to the possibilities, because sometimes when we have these situations where people talk about homelessness, they're also in a situation of doubt. They don't think there is a solution, so a solution doesn't present itself to them. If it did, they were so caught up in the whole idea it wasn't that their perception refuses to let them see it. So I say, let it go where it's going to go, because it's always going to. I feel like when you listen to your angels and God, you always go somewhere better. I've had too many situations where some people tried to throw me out because they just didn't feel like I had the right to stay there anymore. Just simply something stupid like that. Next thing I know, I was sitting on the sidewalk, and I say, okay, God and angels, I don't want to sleep on the sidewalk. And they go, okay, what do you want to do? I want to sleep in a nice warm bed, a nice pillow. I emphasize the pillow. I'd like to have a nice place to lay my head, a nice pillow. And 2 hours later, I was in a hotel room and didn't pay a dime. And people go, how's that? I said, well, what happened was I walked in there and told the lady flat out what had happened. But see, that was on a Wednesday. And on a Friday, I was going to get paid. And I told her, you know, let me stay here. And I kind of said, I promise you I will be on here on Friday, and I'll pay you for 2 weeks, if not for a month. I said, I'm getting paid. I just need to get that going. And I actually got to stay in a hotel room for 2 days without paying a dime. Actually, three, because I actually forgot to go down there on Friday because I had to work over. So I didn't get there until Saturday, which was kind of funny, too, because the lady told me if I wasn't down there on Friday, she's going to throw my stuff out. Well, I got down there on Friday late, and I was thinking, and I felt good about it. I didn't feel like she was going to do anything. I got down there. The lady had cleaned my room up, made my bed and everything. So she didn't throw my stuff out. It was just her way that she felt like the decision she'd made to let me have that room, she had to have a little bit of control. So she threw it out there, but she forgot all about it Friday. I came in Saturday, I said, I got your money. And she goes, money? Oh, that's right. 2 weeks. See, people do trust people.
We're going to definitely take that advice and live up to that, definitely, on the terms of, you know, just letting things happen as they are, you know, even in court dates or anything that I have, you know, comes up or anything else, you know. I'm just gonna let it fly and just let it go, you know, and just be like, all right, angels, here it goes. I've been, you know, I'm right with God, and you know, I'm just going going up here. I'm just gonna be truthful and honest, and I'm just gonna go with it. So,
I'm gonna let her go. I told everybody, yeah, let her go. And you know, it's one of those situations where I feel like it would be a good. I mean, it's not. I think it's gonna be a good friendship, because she's going to also look back on the things that you've done for her and see you in a and I see you in a good light, and where it's going to make a big influence on her to actually go out and be open to have the life that she wants instead of thinking the life she has to have. She's still kind of thinking too much right now.
Oh yeah,
she overthinks.
Yeah, she's way. Woo, she's a oh yeah. Woo, it's deep. It's
she's
deep.
Heavy duty.
Yeah, she's heavy. She's heavy. She's woo. Oh, man.
She drives
yeah,
you
take
down
yourself,
too much.
Yeah, take yourself and throw your. If you accidentally got dropped into her thought process, it's like being dropped into a major highway at rush hour.
Oh my gosh, you have. Oh my gosh, it is a mess. Oh my gosh, it's a mess. She is just draining for me, and she wonders why I don't come by for another 3 or 4 weeks. Sometimes it's just draining.
Can't deal with it.
Mm-hmm. It's like the psychic vampire strikes again.
Yeah.
I
said
the psychic vampire strikes
again. Yeah.
Yeah. It's time for you to take care of yourself.
Amen. All right, well, thank you guys so much again. I'm not going to take any other viewers' calls and stuff any other time. I appreciate you guys helping me out so much, and God bless you.
And take care of yourself.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Take care of yourself. If you ever want to sit down and do a private session, please do so. But if you don't, please call back and give us an update on your life, okay?
I will. Thank you so much. What's your name?
All righty. My friends call me Donnie.
Donnie, perfect. All right, mm-hmm. Donnie, well, you have a great night.
You too. Thank you, and thank you for the call.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. Well, we're actually ticking down to two minutes and 32 seconds. I'm like, that was like a quick two hours, wasn't it?
Yeah.
We're going to try to get to our last two callers. And when the show is done, when we're not on the air to actually live, we still can tape up to, I'm trying to actually pay the fee on the whole thing so we can actually get that. Because usually when we do our two-hour shows and we've paid up our dues for the show, we can usually do it. We can usually stay on for another hour of recording. But when we don't, then we can only stay on for an additional 15. So that with that all said, we got 90 seconds left in the show. What I want to do is we're going to get to these last two callers. I just want to thank everybody out there who's called in. Thank you for all the people who are listening, and thank you for all the support of everybody out there and their greatness about the whole thing. And like I say at the end of every show, when I have a chance, may God and the angels bless you every minute of every day and give love where love is given. And thank you all. It's been a fantastic show. It's like, sorry we didn't do a show last night, but it was just like my energy was so sporadic, I don't think I would have been really good for anybody. So we take that consideration. So tune in with us next week, when we'll be back here again on Friday and Saturday. Friday, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, and on Saturday, 11, and on Sunday, we'll be here at 11. So check in with them now, I think. And we'll see you all then. And let's get back to our callers. And let's go to area code 914, as soon as it kicks in here. 914, welcome to the show. How are you? Say hello to Dee, and what's your name?
Hi, my name is Pam.
Hi. Pam, what's up?
Nothing much. We talked earlier, Donnie, I think, and I just have a question for you guys. I had some medication, and I took it. Was it too old for me to take, or was it okay?
Well, I get the impression the medication was fine.
It wasn't too old? It wasn't beyond the 60 days or whatever they say?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, anything else you could tell me just about my life, about my boyfriend and I, and just in general, or where you see I'm going, what's happening with my job?
Yeah, almost like I don't want to go near the job. But
the job is terrible, but you already picked that
up.
You say you don't want to go near it. I understand.
Right. I'd rather work on the relationship. And like, you know, the idea of working with yourself.
That makes me laugh. Okay, yeah, I understand. That makes me chuckle.
Well, Well, I've been saying, you look at the job or you look at the relationship. It might sound crazy, but the relationship actually has more potential than the job. But
my main question with the job is, will I be going elsewhere?
I think so.
Okay. When are you going to get going? You need to get in your cabin life and hit the road.
Yeah, because
what do you see there, just out of
curiosity? I know what I see there, and I don't want to tell you, but what do you see there just in general?
I see something.
You're not happy.
No, I'm certainly not.
No, you long for something more, a little more challenging, maybe.
That's a possibility. Yeah.
I mean, I think where you are now, it's sort of like it's very routine. It's all same. There's not enough variety, not enough to excite you.
That's true.
Yeah, take back your power. Take back your power. All use right. your God-given powers and intentions to manifest blessings in your life and what you really want to do. Now, what I was saying before was, I wasn't trying to be cutting D off or nothing, but yeah,
that's okay.
I think I get the most. I agree with they're more challenging, but I feel like the only thing that can be more challenging is the actually of creating something yourself, because you're just tired of butting heads with everybody else. When they don't agree with you, it doesn't mean they're right or wrong. And even with the situation with you, even when you're right, people still want to butt heads with you and say, no, I'm right. And it's like one of those situations of putting yourself in a situation of self-employment. And I just felt like the thing I keep getting the most is psychology. I don't know if you've been thinking about going back to psych classes or going back to college or whatever. I just got this psychic thing, as it kept on saying, psychology.
Psychology, that's interesting. It's always been an interest of mine, but I've never really pursued it.
Well, that's one of those things, too, sweetie. You got to think about it. You've been living psychology for your whole life because you have a tendency to sit back and listen and watch people. And actually, psychology is just the study of human behavior.
Well, I
and
do
you've been
find
doing that.
Behavior very, not to cut you off, but I do find human behavior very interesting, and I am very observant, yeah.
And some idiot
yeah,
out
I thought
right?
you were.
But,
you size people up very well.
Yeah, because it's funny, people sometimes ask me, you know, are you intuitive or are you psychic? And I'm like, no, I don't think so, but I don't know, I get a good take on people sometimes, a lot of times, actually.
Well, it's like this. I want to sit here and clarify something for people to realize. If you look at the Bible, the dictionary, and you look at the idea what the definition for psychic is. A psychic is a person who reads people's energy. Anybody can read energy. So if you're reading energies for a job, if you're a good salesman, more likely you're psychic. But when you start looking at things like clairvoyance and clairaudience and clairsentience and claircognizances and empaths, those are a little bit different. That's when we start putting those more into classification or the category of spiritual advisors. Okay, so you see the difference, psychic?
Oh, yeah. Okay, so it's okay for me to say that about myself if you put it that way.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I told people before, do you realize the difference? What's the difference between psychic and intuition?
It's the
called
same.
Fear.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's called
it's
fear.
Pretty much the same.
People
yeah.
who fear psychics say intuition. People who like psychics say psychics. And people who don't like psychics say intuition. But it's still the same thing. It's, you know, your intuition helps you to read people and helps you to see things. And see, when we talk about spiritual advisors, what they do is they work with angels and guides, and they have guidance behind those spiritual gifts as well. So, you know, it's like karate. If you know, people say, you know karate. Yeah, I know his brother too. But, you know, when you sit and look at the situation, karate is actually a title. Taekwondo. Keto, all these other ones, that's karate, okay? But they're just different forms.
That's
so
true.
So the same with psychic. Yeah, so when you look at psychic, or like hate, well, let's put it this way. It's love and hate, all right? When you can take those two words, and that pretty much classifies everything, but there are many words that you can use to describe hate, and there's many words you can use to describe love.
That's true.
Which ones you going to choose? You usually go with how you feel, and that's a psychic. So there you go.
Yeah, but my job, the situation here is, will I be out of there by April?
Well, let's ask Dee. What do you think, Dee?
When she said that, June just came. I heard June was in my head.
Oh, God, please.
I don't know why, but I'm sorry about that.
Well, the thing about it is I'm a teacher. But this particular job, there's a situation going on where they're supposed to come up with it's a complicated situation. The boss is trying to do some bad things to me. I'm having to fight for my livelihood, basically. I feel I'll keep my job in the school system, but I'm just wondering, will I be sent to another school by April?
You know, I get the impression I get the impression no, but I also get the more you stop resisting it, the more leverage you do have, because it seems like people like the ideal of drama. And I get the impression the less you feed into it, the more they sit back and look at you like, what are you going to do? And they're more fearful of you because you don't do anything. Realistically, I would actually have to go with what she's saying about getting out of there in June, because I don't see a transfer or anything like that before April, and by April or anything.
Well,
it's not
a transfer. It's a situation where when they make a decision on my situation, that they automatically send you elsewhere.
I don't see it happening.
Why are they going to let me continue to stay in this hellhole? Oh, my God. Why me?
I get the impression
Julie isn't too terribly far off.
What'd you say?
I said Julie isn't too terribly far off when you think about it. I mean, it seems like forever, but time goes by so fast. And by the time June rolls around, you'll be out of that situation.
But you have no
idea. I think you're going to have some leverage so you can decide. Where do you want to go? What do you want?
It's the most miserable place. It's the most toxic environment. And everybody is so tense and upset that they, like, take their anger out on other people. And it's miserable.
Well,
isn't there a lot of mistrust around? I don't get a good sense of your principal. Maybe I'm wrong there, but...
What did you say? I missed that. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Oh,
we
were picking up the principal, and we were saying he was an ass.
Oh, he is.
Yeah.
I'm going to do one better than that. He's the absolute devil. He's the devil himself.
Okay.
I'm going
to
make it better than that.
I was trying to be nice. I was trying to be nice, yeah. And I think
he
was trying to be nice,
you were
too.
Nice, but I'm going to tell you he's the devil himself.
Okay?
Yeah,
okay,
you
kind of
like you see it.
What'd you say?
Does he have hair? Does he have a lot of hair on his head?
Yeah, he does.
Do you ever want to go back there and push the hair back to look for the horns?
I want to look and see if he has a devil's tail swinging from him.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
I think they're ingrown.
Saying,
I don't think he's ingrown as horns.
I feel like the reason you're not going to go anywhere because you're the only person really qualified to actually do any kind of structure in there.
Well, yeah, it's like
it's
he's
like
holding
stuff.
On to me. He hates me. He can't stand me. He really don't want me there, but he needs me.
But you make him look good.
Why me? Why me? Because he hates me. He really wants me gone.
Because
what he's trying to
do,
I'm
because you see him for who he really is.
That's what we said. Look at the situation.
Like,
go. This is one of those times where you're mad at yourself because you do such a good job.
Well, I didn't want to see him for who he is, but he is what he is.
Right, and that's
why
he doesn't like you, because he knows you can see him. He's got you. He knows. He can just sense. You see him exactly for the person he really is, and he doesn't like that.
But my opinion shouldn't matter. I'm not in power.
What?
My opinion should not matter.
That's
it shouldn't,
true,
but it does
but...
to him.
I don't know why. I don't have any power to move his career one way or the other, so I shouldn't really technically matter my opinion.
Okay.
Are they going to get
rid of
him? Let me ask you, are they going to get rid of him? Because he's being, you know, investigated for a certain situation.
Yes, he will not be coming back next year.
Yeah, well, he's hurt. The bottom line is he's hurt a lot of people and a lot of teachers, a lot of parents, and a lot of students, most importantly.
Uh-huh.
That's most important.
Wow.
So he needs
to
go. He does not walk in the light.
What'd you say?
I said he does walk in the light.
No, he does not. Yet this man supposedly attends church faithfully, but then, you know, I'm not going to judge. That's for God to do.
I'll use the word for
you.
It's hypocrite.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
He's a hypocrite.
Thank you.
I would use terms like that. I'm divorced from a minister.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm well aware of hypocritism. That's exactly what he is.
Wow.
I want to say one thing real quick. We got like 4 minutes left, and it was actually somebody in the queue that I wanted to get to because they don't have a number.
Oh, okay.
And,
I'm sorry. Well, what can you tell me about
No, Pam, you're fine. You're fine, Pam, but I just want to sit here and say I wanted to suggest something to you if you ever think about getting a private reading. You know, you can take a look at the situation we're having right now where I think it's actually cheaper than anything else out there when you get a 60-minute session for
$33. Well, I'm thinking about it. Just quickly tell me something real quick about my boyfriend so I could go and let the other person get online because I don't want to, you know, be rude.
Oh, no. I just feel like the situation your boyfriend. Now, what's his name real quick?
Derek.
Now, with Derek, you know, you seem like there's a – I keep getting the impression there's potential there. But I also feel like that you really need to let me get a paper towel. Anyway, you really need to really think about what is really good for you. I feel like in some sense the way you've been really putting a lot out there and really have a lot of consideration for other people,
mm-hmm.
I just feel like that I keep getting this thing – it came to me twice of where you should walk away in favor of you. I don't see. I wouldn't sit there and say the thing between you and Daryl's over. I just feel like you need to take that surrender and release where you walk away and retreat and really focus and just sit down and ask yourself, what do you really want? Does he fit that?
So you're saying he's not for me?
No, I'm saying you need to take the time to figure that out for yourself. I feel like Daryl has a lot of work.
Derek, yeah.
I'm sorry. I feel like Derek.
What does she
it's
feel?
It's a D.
I
feel like Derek needs a lot of work. And when I sit here and look at Derek, I keep seeing drywall. You know, it's like a couple holes there we need to fix. But also realize that there's always somebody to fix those for you. That it's not your job. It's just your job to really. How would you put that? It's like getting back to your job as being a girlfriend. You're married, right?
No, we're not married, but you probably would think we were.
Yeah, you've been together for a long time.
Like an old married couple, huh?
Yeah,
they carry the. Yeah.
Yeah.
What
do you see? Do you think he's for me, or you think that I should be with another man or something?
I think I agree with Donnie. You've got to take some time for yourself, sit back and evaluate. What are your goals? What do you really want? What is he giving? You know, all that stuff. Just sit back and do what you do best. Observe.
Well,
look at yourself.
Yeah, like I said before, it's the giving and receiving. Giving and receiving are very important. They're mutually important. When you look at a situation,
and you're giving more than you're getting, aren't you?
I am, but when is he going to get it together?
Yeah, but see, the point is, with the situation of you working on yourself and really doing that work for yourself, it's like pointing out to somebody and saying, when you sit there and ask the question, what about him? You're not thinking about you. And
okay.
Because, see, when you take that important time to do what you got to do for yourself, this could also be an example and a good reflection for him to do the same thing because you really can't do anything to change him. That is his job. But you can
exactly
within yourself to change the outside because everything that's going on right now on the outside of you is because of how you feel. So there's chaos between you and him because there's also chaos in your life. And you also felt like that with the job that you were talking about for. Now you can sit here and say, okay, you see me leaving or you see me seeing things changing or other things. But I also got this very strong impression when I was talking about retreat. It was talking about the relationship as retreat from that too and takes